Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Comment is the big conversation. Sometimes it's even the great debate, but it can't be either without your participation. Above all, I need your telephone calls. Here's how it works. You call us on 44208-601-4555. We'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero, or I'll have to move on because no one will understand either of us. You can also SMS the show on 44780080066, and the best of those, if they're good enough, will come up here on the comment wall. Ditto your emails that should be sent to comment@presstv.co.uk. You can even tweet us at @comment_PressTV. And the best of those will come up on the comment wall. Our main subject tonight, Al-Nusra, that is to say Al-Qaeda in Syria, has changed its name to Jabhat Fatah al-Sham. Now, I don't give a monkey's what they call themselves. You could actually call them anything. You could call them Big Bird from Sesame Street. It wouldn't change anything for me, and it shouldn't for you. They were Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda has given them permission to change their name to Jabhat Fatah al-Sham. Who cares? I'll tell you who cares. The people who care, the people who push them to change their name, are the people who are funding them, arming them, giving them political, diplomatic, and propaganda support. They are embarrassed. You might say they ought to be ashamed, but they definitely are embarrassed that they're giving guns and money to the people who attacked the United States on 9/11/2001. That would be embarrassing for any American government, wouldn't it? How do you explain that to the families of the thousands of people murdered by Al-Qaeda on 9/11? Well, what do you say? It's 15 years on. Let's forgive them and give them everything they need to mass murder hundreds of thousands of people in Syria and Iraq. It's embarrassing. So why not change their name? It's embarrassing for the slaves of the United States in the satrapies of the Persian Gulf, whose money it actually is that's being used. Let me tell you how it works. The United States and Britain give them money, and the satrapies in the Persian Gulf pay the United States and Britain for the weapons. It's good business. Actually, it's been done before. It was done in the 1980s in Afghanistan. And it was actually Osama bin Laden who was one of the beneficiaries of that setup. Now, a group that is openly loyal to Osama bin Laden, they were on Al Jazeera just the other night, openly stating their reverence for Osama bin Laden. Oddly, the Al Jazeera reporter didn't seem to be fazed by that, or imagine that that would travel, that that would later come back to haunt them. But hey, if you call them Al-Nusra instead of Al-Qaeda, and then when Al-Nusra becomes so shameful because of its head-chopping, crucifying, murdering, torturing, holy place destroying reputation, well, change their name again, and we'll call them Jabhat Fatah, shall we? I think I'm going to call them Big Bird from Sesame Street. A big, ugly, savage, mass-murdering bird from Sesame Street. That's what I'm going to call them from now on. But what of the governments and the media outfits who presumably will tamely accept this change of name as meaning anything at all? What of them? How do we expose them for the cynicism, for the hypocrisy? How do we tell the American taxpayer? How do we tell the British taxpayer, who also suffered their own 9/11 on 7/7 on a smaller scale? How do we tell those taxpayers that your money and your weapons are going to these people? That's our main subject tonight. But there's two other subjects. In London, yesterday, someone who was apparently mentally ill went mad in Russell Square, a place I frequently frequent myself. He went mad with a large knife and stabbed six people, one of them to death, a woman, an American woman in her 60s. The police, I must say, handled it very well. Armed police were on the scene within 5 minutes. They did not kill the suspect. They tasered him. He's now out of hospital and being questioned for murder in a London police station. And then the police, as soon as it was possible to do so, ruled out terrorism as the motive and branded it a crime committed, apparently, by someone suffering severe mental illness. The fact that the man was black, was African, was Somali, and was presumably, therefore, at least by heritage, a Muslim, could have been used by the police to pour petrol on the flames that are already spreading. But they did not, and hats off to them for that. London has just armed 600 new armed response policemen. And this is what they look like, a pretty fearsome sight. And they're going to be travelling on motorbike. I support that. Indeed, when I was running to be Mayor of London, I called for that. Let there be no doubt, if ISIS or Al-Qaeda come to London to kill innocent people, we must shoot them dead, and shoot them dead quickly. And the quickly is the important thing. There's no question that the law permits the shooting dead of a terrorist, and the law must be rigorously upheld in this regard. But it has to be done quickly. Because if you allow these incidents to drag on, if you allow them to become hostage situations, then all the evidence is that far larger numbers of people die. The Paris events at the Bataclan are a very good example of that. I believe that the Bataclan could have been ended much more swiftly. Of course, with loss of life, but nothing like the extent of the loss of life that in the end occurred. And an issue about black people and guns in the United States. It's another day, so obviously there's another black person being shot dead by police in the United States. In this case, a young woman of 23 years of age in front of her 5-year-old son, who was also shot by the police inside her own home. The police arrived to implement a traffic offense ticket. That's right. A young mother of 23 now lies dead in Maryland, in the United States. Her child is wounded over a traffic offense, a ticket, an unpaid ticket. She's the 9th black woman to be shot dead in the United States in 2016. And I've lost count of the number of black men. Now, maybe that shouldn't surprise us. The United States of America is a country founded on the genocide of the original American inhabitants. It was then built on an edifice of slavery of millions of black people. Then when slavery had to end, it was replaced with segregation, apartheid, racial segregation, and lynching, and the Ku Klux Klan, and all the things you know. Well, it hasn't changed all that much. No wonder the United States is in a mess. There's no wonder that the United States is in a mess. The only wonder is that they think that they are exceptional and superior, and that they have the right, maybe even the duty, to go around the world invading and occupying other people and telling them how they should run their countries. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Farouk in London is up first and on the line. Go ahead, Farouk.
Farouk, assalamu alaikum, George.
Wa alaikum salam, welcome, go on.
Okay, I could not be more what you have just said about that and this route. Whatever, they can change their names a million times if they want, but they can't change their nature.
No.
They are there to divide the Muslim world. You know, there was no problem, even during the time of Saddam, between Shia and Sunni. And that is all the exercise, you know, to kill people right up in center, and the poor in the center, women and children, old people dying in the Middle East at their hands. You know, the Muslim world should wake up, for God's sake.
Well, that's a key point for
it. The slaughtering going on. It is where people come to some kind of common terms. Let's be able to talk to each other.
That's the key point, Farouk. You see, I have no problem understanding why US and British and French imperialism, or the settler state that they call Israel, I have no problem understanding why they do what they do. A scorpion stings because it's a scorpion. That's what scorpions do. This is what imperialist countries do. That I have no problem in understanding. Where my problem comes in is understanding why so many Muslims are falling for all this.
If you look at David Icke, what he said, you know, these days you don't have just a Jew Zionist, no Christian Zionist, but you have Muslim Zionist. That's what David Icke said.
Spare me from David Icke. Farouk, thanks very much for your call. This is, of course, footage that we've seen before, but I never fail to be moved, horrified, my blood chilled by it. These murdering killers that they call ISIS appear to have the support of some in the Muslim world. And I don't just mean the kings and princes who pour money and weapons down their throat, the better to cause still more havoc. I don't just mean them. Ali is in London. He's on the line next. Ali, welcome.
Hello, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead.
I just want to say about the al-Nusra to change their name recently to something else, whatever it is.
Jabhat Fatah al-Sham.
Yeah, what if, the thing is, most people...
Means the Revolutionary Front of Syria.
Yeah, the general public cannot keep up with all these different names. I mean, how many different terrorists are there, and how many times they keep changing their names? We had ISIS, then they became ISIL, then became ICE, then they became Daesh. We had the MEK terrorists, also called MKO, also called people Mujahideen of Iran, nothing to do with Iran, just anti-Iranian terrorist organization.
I see that Saudi Arabia is now openly supporting the MKO.
Absolutely, absolutely.
One of the princes of the royal house, no less.
Well, there is the MKO has had the headquarters in Paris for quite a long time. And in 2003, the leader of the terrorist organization, Mariam Rajavi, was arrested in 2003 in France using 800 French police officers. But the fact is that she was released from prison by the order of a senator in America because she is fronting an activity against Iran. And because she has been fronting an activity against Iran, terrorist activities and other things against Iran, so she is fully supported. Now, these people, they need money, and they don't go to work to make money. They use fraud to make money. And the fraud that they commit is very widespread. They use charities. They use different forms of activities. And one of their activities is to train others who have mental susceptibility, to be indoctrinated, elderly people and other people who have got some kind of susceptibility of being indoctrinated. And then they train them to do whatever, which they would never ever do in a normal situation. And what I'm seeing at the moment, what we're all witnessing is happening across Europe, it's not unexpected, because I actually predicted this back in 2009, and by 2013, when I was trying to bring the case to the court in a way that was to expose the matter, and these people, they realized that the situation was getting very grotesque, and they took action against me in ways that I'm not going to explain over the phone, because your TV program isn't just being watched by people who are supporting anti-terrorist organizations.
Well, that's right. We're being watched all over the world by all kinds of people. Ali, thanks for the call. Rizwan is in Birmingham, still in England, I think, not Alabama. Rizwan, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Galloway.
Wa alaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
My opinion is this, Brother Galloway, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran, these people that are joining ISIL and formed ISIL, we know how ISIL and these terror groups formed. But the people, the individuals, the youngsters and the women that are joining them, I just think personally that they're misinterpreting the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Because he did not say this is jihad, where we can kill innocent civilians, where we use our sisters, Muslim sisters, make them our sex slaves, kill them, rape them. So I don't know why these brothers and sisters are falling for these bloodthirsty devil's army. Another thing I feel, which I want to point out, is I feel this, we know how they were created by the Zionists and the West, but probably there's a motive, which I think, to finish the Muslims off, create the terror groups, and obviously, you look at Syria, you look at Iraq, you look at Afghanistan, everywhere where these terror groups are. Who's dying? It's the innocent Muslims.
Well, that's right, but there's 1.7 billion Muslims, so nobody's going to finish them off. And until we can make sure that young people know that this is Satan's work, this is not God's work, this is the work of the devil himself, and until we can staunch the flow of recruits. I mean, I was looking at the battle in Aleppo just the other day, and the intelligence being gathered, the chatter on the radio, 20, 40, 60 scores of languages being chattered on the in the communications of the Takfiri fanatics that are holding the people of Aleppo ransom and are fighting every inch of the way in the attempt to liberate Aleppo. Scores of languages. Muslims from all over the world, from Uyghur Muslims from China to former supermarket employees in Wales and in England and in Scotland and all parts in between. This is the problem. You see, it's not good enough just to blame the Americans, blame the British, blame the French, blame what they call Israel. Of course, all of them have their hands in this. But the people committing these atrocities in Iraq and Syria are Muslims. And they are Muslims from everywhere. And until that stops, even the defeat in Syria and Iraq, of ISIS, of Al-Qaeda, of Al-Nusra, of Jabhat Fatah, whatever you call them, the defeat of them is not going to solve the problem, because this mutation will reappear in another form, another name, in another theater of war. Robert's in Peterhead in Scotland, always worth hearing, despite his tender years. Robert, welcome.
Good evening, George.
Evening to you. Go ahead.
So this, the rebranding of Jabhat al-Nusra to Jabhat Fateh al-Sham, to be honest, it doesn't really matter what their names are, to be honest. I mean, they're the same head-chopping, heart-eating, liver-cutting, fanatical murderers that...
Child murderers. Exactly. Beheading a 12-year-old child and videoing themselves doing it.
Exactly, exactly. They're the same sick human beings, regardless of what name they have. And the thing is, the whole... It doesn't matter. I mean, what has happened is that they have attempted to distance themselves. I think I was looking up this as I was on the phone. They were saying that they still believe in Al-Qaeda's ideology, but that they may wish to disassociate themselves from Al-Qaeda later down the line. But when you think about it, that doesn't actually matter, because the blood of all the innocent Muslims, Christians, atheists, agnostics, and every single faith and none in Syria is still on their hands, and that blood is not going to dry anytime soon. And the thing is, the main blood of the hand, it is not only on the hands of Jabhat al-Nusra or Jabhat Fateh al-Sham or whatever they call themselves. The blood on the hands must also be shared with the American government, the British government, the governments of the European Union, and the government of so-called Israel.
You're right, absolutely right, Robert. Succinctly put, as always. Thanks for that, son. Let's go to Mohammed. I'm not sure where he is. He's in Wales. Mohammed, welcome.
How are you?
I'm good, by the grace of God. It's not a great line, Mohammed.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. Oh, that's good. I'm glad about that. You're well and everything okay.
Thank you.
How was your show went in Bradford?
It was a sellout, 250 people. In fact, the film is spreading like a wildfire, and I've just been invited to present it at the Vancouver International Film Festival. It's really going great guns. Thanks, Mohammed.
A lot of work for that. Well, basically, what it is, George, they can call themselves whatever they want, right? A killer can dress up in any kind of a uniform he wants, change his name, but if he don't change his attitude and the way they process their way of thinking, it's they're exactly the same as what they were before, right? These so-called Muslim people, I always keep saying, you know, our countries, they are mostly to be blamed for all these terrorists. If they don't have these terrorists, how are they going to sell their ammunition? How are they going to make their new law with terrorism? You know, if the world became so peaceful, right, then we won't need any guns. So these so-called Muslims and especially our Muslim countries, right, who think they are the head of the Islamic Ummah, are the biggest terrorists going, George.
Well, they are. Without them, it couldn't happen, Mohammed.
Yeah. I mean, they spent millions and millions of... billions, not millions.
Billions. They spent billions.
Yeah.
In fact, Saudi Arabia cannot now feed the Indian nationals who are having to get food flown in from India. Unpaid workers, Indian workers, unpaid in Saudi Arabia for 6 months and more, with no wages, who can't buy anything to eat. The Indian government is flying in food, while the same Saudi government is sending the weapons that murdered these people. Look at them. Look at their faces, about to be murdered by weapons, bullets, given to them by the very same dictatorship in Saudi Arabia. Look upon it. Look upon their work. These hypocrites. They think that God will accept their prayers, that God will accept their fast. My goodness, what kind of God do they imagine the Almighty to be? Mohammed in Wales, thanks for that call. You got my blood going. I've got to take a short break for a 3-minute news bulletin. We're discussing Black Lives Matter. We're discussing a terrorist by any other name. Don't go away. God willing, I'll still be here when you come back. You're watching Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still, always, the voice of the voiceless. In the first half of the show, we were talking about the absurdity of changing the name of the Al-Qaeda outfit in Syria as a means of hoodwinking the public that somehow they may have changed their spots. But leopards don't change their spots. Neither, it would appear, do US police officers. I spoke earlier about the 9th black woman to be shot dead by police just this year. Her name is Corinne Gaines. She was 23 years old, and police shot her to death. They also shot her 5-year-old son, who witnessed the entire thing. The police had called at her house to prosecute an unpaid traffic fine. Now, it has become such a commonplace for black people to be gunned down in America by law enforcement officers that most of us have already forgotten the names of many of the fallen. But I predict you will not forget Corinne Gaines. Here's a video that she made with her son just before the police killed her. Take a look at this.
What's happening right now? Who's outside?
The police.
And what are they trying to do? It's charging. What are they trying to do?
They trying to kill us.
I'm sorry, dear. I can hear you say no.
It's good. Do you want to go out there?
No.
Oh. Okay. What do you want to do?
I am beside myself in rage at what we've just watched. That little boy, 5 years old, asked by his mother who's outside, answers the police. And what are they trying to do, asks his mother. They're trying to kill us, says the 5-year-old boy. There was a 5-hour standoff at the house. You saw the police officer. Now, is that how they normally turn up at somebody's house? To collect a traffic fine that hasn't been paid? What is going on in America when a 23-year-old mother is shot dead in her house and her 5-year-old little boy is shot alongside her over a traffic fine? Now, this woman knew, she knew that the police were out to get her. Because she knew that they appeared to be out of control. She hardly ever went out of the house because of this climate of law enforcement gunning down black people in America. Here's another video in which, in an eerie prophecy, this woman predicted what happened to her just yesterday.
Ma'am, you still have a chance to get out of your vehicle and walk home with your children. It's right, you live in Carriage Hill, which is right there. I'm giving you that opportunity right now. Do you understand?
I'm giving you an opportunity to walk away.
you don't have that,
and
you
have
that option.
And I have a murder here in Courage Hill
I'm
today.
Not gonna murder you. I promise you.
Okay. Well,
I'm
one
gonna,
of you
I'm
will.
Not do that.
One of you will.
No, we won't.
I promise you, you will. Unless y'all got a horse. Will. Unless y'all got a horse tranquilizer out here, which still won't work.
I promise you, you will. You will murder me. She predicts sometime prior to yesterday's events. I'm almost lost for words. Let's see if our guest can help me. Omawale Rupert is from the Pan-African Society Community Forum. Omawale, thanks for joining us. I assume that you, like almost every black person in America and in Britain, has looked at these videos and has pondered exactly where we are now. How would you respond to what we've just seen?
I have to say, if you're talking about what you've seen in the studio, I'm not seeing the program visually at this point. In terms of the murder of our sister, our daughter, Corinne Gaines, it has the hallmark of an assassination. There's no defense for U.S. Satan in this situation whatsoever. U.S. Satan is one of these maniac states that sanctions the killing of people. It makes the death sentence legal. But even in a country as backward, as reactionary as U.S. Satan, there is, at least on paper, the recognition that the killing of its citizens should be done in what they would call a judicial way. In other words, that the death penalty should be executed after being through, you know, the process of courts, etc. A jury has given its opinion on the matter, etc. It's gone through due process, in other words. There can be no defense. I mean, even in a reactionary nation like U.S. Satan, there can be no defense for the culling of African people or any other people without even a judicial process. Now, I make it very clear that we in the Pan-African Society Community Forum are completely against the death penalty anyway. But that aside, even if you're for the death penalty, you would have to be in a really reactionary place to be for the death penalty being executed or carried out without a due process. Our daughter, our sister, it appears to me, and I'm far removed from the situation, has been executed, has been assassinated.
Now, I mean, this little boy was shot also, 5 years old, her little son. It was all over a traffic penalty, an unpaid traffic ticket. There was a five-hour standoff. Does a place like Maryland not possess anyone that could have spoken through the door to this young mother of 23? A five-hour standoff with police done up like special forces in a war zone? What's going on in the United States?
With respect, George, it's not just U.S. Satan where this is happening. It's happening here in Britain. And we must always hold in our mind that whereas somewhere like U.S. Satan has a military, and that military goes around the world creating havoc, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in the Middle East, wherever it is, in the world, they just go there committing genocide, killing people in the thousands and even millions. And that's been happening for a long time now. But inside U.S. Satan, they have their internal military. That internal military is the police. The internal military here in Britain is the police. In U.S. Satan, no holds barred. They just arm them. They just give them guns so they can go out killing. And I'm talking about killing their own citizens. In Britain, they have little caveats on it. They still arm them. They put them in cars with guns and make them circulate around our cities so that they can pull out their guns and kill our people, when they're ready. But the point has to be understood that we're not dealing with a true civilian outfit. We're dealing with a military outfit in wolf's clothing. And that's what police forces are. Now, this young woman, our daughter, Corinne, she will not be totally isolated. She will be a member of a family. She will be a member of a community. There will be people that know her. I don't know the particulars of the case, but I would imagine that there would be people who would have been willing, volunteering, to go in there and speak to her. So that this whole matter could have been settled in a way that was not fatal, did not result in the loss of life. I don't know whether the U.S. state and internal military tried those angles. I suspect that they didn't.
No, they didn't.
And you see, again, this is a sign that what was happening there was a calculated assassination. As I say, I am thousands of miles away, and I'm not qualified to say that it actually was an assassination, but it certainly has the hallmarks of an assassination. And George, to speaking to the point that you make about a minor incident, a traffic incident, over here in Britain, what we have is a situation where young Africans, young men in particular, young African boys, in particular, are stopped and searched in the street by the internal military called the police. Some 28 times more than their European counterparts. We must understand what that means. These are the minor incidents that lead to the deaths in custody here in Britain. It doesn't just happen in US Satan. It happens right here in Britain. Derek Bennett shot 5 times in the back in Brixton. Azelle Rodney shot 5 times in the head, 2 in his body. He fell too quickly to receive the other 2 bullets which were fired into the vehicle that he was in. Those are just 2 examples. I could go on and give lots and lots more examples of the murders of African people, and it's not just African people, it's African people and other oppressed peoples here, but Africans had the brunt of this brutality, this oppression, these fatal incidents thrust upon us. It's right here, the point I'm making, George, is that it is right here under our noses. We support, I'm talking about the Pan-African Society Community Forum, of which I'm a member, we support the United Families and Friends campaign here in Britain. The United Families and Friends campaign is an organization of the families who have lost a loved one at the hands of the police, the internal military here in Britain. You know, there was the Hillsborough inquest that happened recently, which gave an outcome which, on the face of it, appears positive. But there are hundreds and hundreds of other cases. In fact, thousands of cases of Africans and other oppressed peoples dying, being murdered, I would say, in police custody, inside mental health.
Inside mental health, inside prisons, in police vans, in their own cars. Omawale Roper of the Pan-African Society Community Forum, thank you for the passion and clarity with which you have contributed tonight. Let's take the next caller. Rafiq is in London. Rafiq, welcome.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. A bit upset by this story, but go on.
Yeah, I'm always upset. I'm watching Press TV every day and listening to the news and watching what's happening.
Yeah.
What I want to find out, whatever the terrorists are, whoever they are, they're funded by America, Saudi, and Qatar or somebody. But what I'm asking the question is, they killed so many people, they did everything. Is it going to be a case against them in the United Nations, like if there was a genocide, like what they've been creating and everything?
No, nobody will ever prosecute them. The prosecutions are for the others. But we can politically punish them. You see, these people that we've been arming are now murdering our people on the streets of our cities, in Nice, in Paris, in Belgium, in Germany. They are now murdering innocent civilians in the states in which, or from which, the money and the weapons for these people came in the first place. And if our people knew that, Rafiq, then the political cost to our governments would be immense. I was trapped in a lift with William Hague, the former foreign secretary. It was just his bad luck that the lift jammed with only me and him in it, in Westminster. I said to him, William, you've been wrong before. In fact, you've been wrong all your life. But you've never been insane before. But I'm telling you, your policy of giving weapons and encouragement to these fanatics that you're sending to Syria will come back here and they'll be running around our building trying to cut our heads off too. That's what I told them. That's the truth. But the question is, how do we get that truth out to the public on whose support these politicians depend? Thanks, Rafiq. Here's Nasser, also in London. Go ahead, Nasser.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you.
To be honest, the world is blind, is deaf. I mean, we can't see them. They are what you call them, terrorists. Whether they change the name or not, they all work for the same cause. And we know who protect them and who finance them and who arm them. They are the same people, whether they change the name or not. There were Saudis, the Egyptians, all directly or indirectly. Basically, you know, the guy who said why they can't take him after it's finished, they will take him to court. They will never go to court. Of course, they will take the court to court. Those who fight for their freedoms, they are the one who they call them terrorists. If you fight for your freedoms, then you are terrorists. That's what happened. They're killing all those innocents in Syria, in Iraq. Doesn't matter, Shia or Sunni, they're all the same. We're all human. We believe in, you know, we're all the same people, same faith. So the killing is all political, nothing to do with religion. And we know who controlled them, of course, those Zionists. And I hope, you know, their days are numbered. And let me say, you know, the thing about Nice you mentioned early on, that's nothing to do with the religion. That's political as well. In France, they had the strike everywhere. They were striking about the law about the work. The working, so the only way to stop them, because France was paralyzed for many months, they had to create something to divert people from it. And what happened? They succeeded. The strike stopped, and everybody went back as normal. Thank you very much, George.
Well, if the point being made there is that the mass murders in France never happened, or that the French government carried them out, I'm afraid that's not true. You see, the people there, it was people like them that carried it out. And they're not French. Neither are they Israelis. They are Muslims who have swallowed that ideology pumped out by Saudi Arabia day and daily, decade after decade. An ideology of hatred and sectarianism, so that the blood of the innocent that you are taking is not worth a drop of water to you, because your mind has been poisoned, not by a Frenchman or an Israeli, but by somebody claiming to be the custodian of the holy places. Imagine. Let's take a tweet up on the comment wall. It's been a while since we got one. This is from Wahim Hanna. The Wahhabi ideology had many decades to spread widely. It will take time to eradicate by mosque, eradicated by Muslims. Very well put. Almost psychic, the point that I was myself just making. Mehdi is in Iran. Let's hear from him. Go ahead, Mehdi.
Yes, I'm ready.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello. Hello, George. Good evening.
Good evening to you. Go ahead.
I have some idea about Daesh people. No problem?
I'm not really following you, Mehdi.
Daesh are cruel people because...
No, I'm going to move on because the line is too bad, Mehdi. Hailan is in Yemen, another place where Saudi Arabia and its friends are spilling blood by the ocean. Hailan, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. George, good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. You've got 2 minutes. Be quick, please.
Yes, good evening, Mr. George.
Good evening. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, actually, I would like to thank you personally for your deep emotion. Okay. Actually, Saudi Arabia and Western countries...
Go ahead.
Actually, Saudi Arabia are created...
Hailan in Yemen, I'm so sorry that we lost that line because I think you were poised to make the point that Saudi Arabia, using weapons sold to them by Britain and the United States, sold to them by us for money, are murdering men, women, and children in Yemen every day, even in defiance of our own domestic law. The British government smuggled out on the last day of Parliament, when no one was looking, an admission that we are giving weapons to Saudi Arabia to kill people in Yemen in defiance of our own law, which forbids the export of arms for internal repression, external aggression. It is a mark of shame on the British government, but you'd be hard pushed to find it because of the other marks of shame that are already there. Continue this on Twitter, comment_PressTV. It's been marvelous.
Hello, so just comment your name and location with that number. And just make sure your delivery volume is set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You redirect your phone number. Can I have
your telephone number?
I'll send you a comment.